God, what's your business plan? I'm seeking God's will. What's your career path? I'm seeking God's will. What's your relationship path? I'm seeking God's will. What's your financial plan? I'm seeking God's will. I'm saying, God, in everything, I'm not depending on my own understanding, but I'm seeking your will in everything I do for my entire life. Who here has ever walked into a closed door? Come on, be honest with everybody, right? You know, somebody just cleaned the sliding glass door going out to the backyard, and you ran into it. I've known enough people who have like broken their nose or broken their arm or broken the glass or broken their pride, and, you know, and they just walked into a closed door. You don't have to be a Christian to believe in this truth. It is much easier to walk through an open door than it is a closed door. Right? Some of you, your wheels are turning. You're like, I don't know if that's true. Try it later and then post it so we can know. Pastor told me to try this and then see what happens. You know, in life, we sometimes face situations that feel like a closed door and some that feel like an open door. Maybe you're here today and you feel like every time you turn around, you try to do something, make a next step, you feel like you're facing a closed door. That relationship didn't work out that you wanted. You didn't get that promotion at work. Your business idea was a flop. You didn't win the lottery yesterday. Some of you are really sad about that. You're like, God keeps closing the door. And you're like, I just feel like every time something, I try to move forward, it's like a closed door. And you feel like, man, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know how to make these changes in my life and what's next. And if that's you this morning, you are in a perfect place. Because we're in our series, The After Party, and we've been talking about the book of Acts. And today we find ourselves in Acts chapter 16. And we're just going to discuss a little part of that chapter where Paul, who was once had this mission, this fiery mission to destroy the church, arrest and kill Christians. It was his passion in life. Now we see him as a totally different person because now his passion and mission in life is to build the church. Isn't it amazing how God can change lives? This guy who once all he cared about was just destroying the church, now he's going to become one of the single most important missionaries and church planters in the history of the world. And we see him now in Acts chapter 16 where he actually becomes, he's taken these letters to the churches to help them learn how to deal with all these Gentile believers who are getting saved. And when he's done doing that, now he's going to move into new regions and to move into new places where he can preach the gospel. But even as awesome as Paul was, he still sometimes struggled with what's the will of God. What doors open? Which door is God opening? Which door is God closing? Which way should I go? And that's where we see him and his companions in Acts chapter 16. They're kind of trying to discover what's next for them. And as we learn from him, we're going to learn this one main thing today, and that's this, that the will of God is a way of life. It's a way of life. It's not a one-time event. It's not a like, hey, I've got my life, but I'm praying for God's will in this specific aspect in my life. It is a way in which we, if you are a Christian, a Christ follower today, it's a way in which we live our life because it's our way of life. And so I want you to think about that as we get into the passage today in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So the Holy Spirit stopped them. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Don't go this way. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, We, say we. That's important. It's going to be part of my message. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The will of God is a way of life. Now, as we read this passage, it doesn't make it clear how Paul and his companions came to this realization that God was closing doors. It says the Spirit of God told us not to, you know, prevented us from preaching the Word of God. And the Spirit of Jesus prevented us from preaching the Word of God. It doesn't give us clarity on, like, how did he come to that conclusion? It could have been a logistical thing, like, hey, we couldn't get there. It could have been a financial thing. Hey, we couldn't afford it. It could have been just, a check in their spirit, where their heart, they feel like, hey, we just feel like maybe God's saying, hey, don't go here. It could have been a ton of different things. And they came to this realization, though, that, hey, God's telling us, don't go to these places, but go to this place. And they begin to live out this very serious reality that we should all have, making the will of God a way of life in which we live. And so as we think about that this morning, as Paul kept moving and finding the will of God, we're going to do the same thing. He kept trying over here, that wasn't the will of God. He tried over here, that wasn't the will of God. So he went here, and that was the will of God. We're going to do the same thing, and we're going to figure out how to do it. Because God will answer you in one of three ways. He will say yes, no, or not right now. Got it? He'll say yes, no, or not right now. The problem is, how do we get to that answer? I want to get to one of these three answers. I want God to tell me yes, I want God to tell me no, or I want him to make it clear, hey, Zach, not right now. All these places that were closed doors for them, God was saying not right now, because later on in Scripture, they go and plant churches there, and they go and do ministry there. They become part of the Scripture. So it wasn't just like, no, we're never going to preach the gospel to Asia. It would just happen later. How do we get to that point? Because sometimes the waiting is just killing me. How many know what I'm talking about right now? Like, if God, if you just make it clear, how do we get there? Well, I'm going to help us this morning through the Word of God. We're going to get there together, and we're going to ask this question. How can you make the will of God a way of life? How do I do that so that I can have more clarity in what next steps that God wants for me? Because it's not just a one-time thing. And it's not an isolated thing where I just have one isolated area that I want God's will in, but I don't want him touching the rest of my life. I want his will everywhere. So if I'm going to get there, the first thing we need to do is you need to ask God for his will for your entire life. Your entire life, not just part of it, your entire life. Are you letting God or asking God's will in just the areas that you pick and choose? Or are you asking for God's will for your entire life? Jesus told us to pray in Matthew 6 when his disciples asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Have you asked God that, by the way? God, teach me how to pray. We started the boiler room this weekend. It's our prayer time between each of the services. And it's a perfect opportunity for us to go and seek God and say, God, teach me how to become a person who's better at praying, who's better at talking to you. And so that's what the disciples asked. Jesus teaches how to pray. And this is what he said in Matthew chapter 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Here it is. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, pop quiz, really hard question. How much of God's will is done in heaven? All of it. This side got the answer right. This side really struggles with it. How much of God's will is done in heaven? All of it. All of God's will is done in heaven. In fact, nothing happens in the heavens outside of God's will. Truthfully, nothing happens outside of God's will on earth. But we're to pray this and say, God, I want your kingdom come and your will to be done in my life on earth as it is in heaven. I want your complete will for my entire life, not just part of it. This is a whole new way for some of you to think about how you pray and how you seek God and say, God, I want your whole will,
And when we do this, we need to kind of have this mindset that really understands that I'm not trusting in my own ambition and my own feelings. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's your whole person, by the way. Do not depend on your own understanding. And if I can just add a little block here, do not depend on your own understanding because your feelings are not foundational. But seek his will in all you do. Seek his what, church?
Will.
His will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So I say, God, what's your business plan? I'm seeking God's will. What's your career path? I'm seeking God's will. What's your relationship path? I'm seeking God's will. What's your financial plan? I'm seeking God's will. I'm saying, God, in everything, I'm not depending on my own understanding, but I'm seeking your will in everything I do for my entire life. That's how to make the will of God a way of life for you. And I say, God, I want to do that, because oftentimes we make plans, and then after we're done making plans, we ask God to bless them. Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? We say, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to ask God to bless them. For instance, none of you won the lottery yesterday. If you did, please come see me after church. We need to have a combo. But maybe, and I'm not advocating for playing the lottery or against playing the lottery, but that's not the time and place for that. But if you did play the lottery, or maybe even if you didn't, you fantasized about how you would spend the money. You had a conversation either with yourself or with somebody else, and you're like, oh, you know what I'm going to do with the money? What would you do? Well, I would buy this house, and I would get this car, and I would go on more vacations, and I would eat out more, and then I would probably hire my own personal chef because I'm sick of cooking, and I would, and you do all this stuff, right, and you've thought about all these plans you're going to make, and then along comes that one Christian. What would you do with the money? Well, I would help this orphanage and this church, and then I'd buy the church, you know, and people, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, Pastor, if I win the lottery, I'm going to buy you a church. Let me just clarify something. First of all, you're not buying me anything. Okay, I'm not the owner, all right? Like some giant gift for me. Would I like a nice building that we own and we could do? Yeah, of course. But you know what I want more than that? I want people who do the will of God. And we plan all these things, and then we add God to, like, as an addendum to the clause. Okay, God, now bless it. Look at my plan. It's so good. Bet you didn't think of that. Right? But I want his will for my whole. The Bible says that when we plan things outside of God's will without making it, you know, a cry for God's will, it's actually sin. James says this about it in James chapter 4. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money and win the lottery and get all my stuff. It's going to be great. He says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. You don't even know. What is your life? He says, you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You're gone. Instead, what you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes because you planned without God. All such boasting is evil. He says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. In other words, you know, I ought to do the will of God, but I'm doing my own will, that's sin. And so we should say, okay, God, I want your whole will in my entire life. And as I'm praying this, as I'm seeking this, I ask this. I ask God to close every door no man can open and open every door no man can shut. God, I don't want to go through anything that you don't want me to go through. I don't want to try to open any door that you've closed, and I don't want to close any door that you've opened. I only want the ones that you do. This is what Paul and his companions are doing. They said, closed door, open door. That's the direction we're going. Sometimes we don't like that, do we? Many years ago, my son, Thaddeus, who was a toddler, and back then he was much shorter, he and his nephew, Will, got stuck in the closet. And it was really my own fault because we had put the dresser in the closet and they had pulled out the drawers. And what happened is they closed the door and it got top heavy and it fell forward. And when it did that, it pinned Thaddeus against the wall and he's screaming bloody murder. And I don't know if it's pinned his neck and he's choking, and then his little cousin is in there, and I'm yelling. I'm like, "Can you get the dresser off?" He's like, "It's too big, Uncle X." And they can't. He can't lift it up. And so I'm like, "I don't know." And it's like pandemonium. You have this moment as a parent. You're like, "I have to get to the other side of this freaking door right now." And my wife Laura comes running in. She goes, "What's going on?" Because they're screaming. I'm yelling at them. And so I did the only thing that I thought to do at the moment. I beat a hole through the door. I just started punching it as hard as I could. And I'm, I wasn't slapping it. I was punching it. Okay? Some of you men needed that lesson right there. And I'm punching it, right? And so I punch a hole through the door. And then I reach through and I get the dresser up. And they get out. And he had a mark on his face. And it was... Right? And then it was all done, and then, it was calmed down, and then I gave myself an award afterwards. Sometimes when God closes the door, we become so singularly focused on the thing that we thought we needed that we try to punch through the door that God has closed. Let me be very clear with you this morning. If God closed the door, you are not meant to open it. Now, I'm not saying that God closed the door on my son and my nephew at all. I'm just using it as an analogy, okay? Bear with me, okay? You say, "Well, Pastor Zach, you should have left the door closed." Well, then they would be dead, all right? Understand, okay? When God was speaking to the churches in the book of Revelation, he was telling them all kinds of things, and he spoke to one church that's relevant to every church for all time. He said this in Revelation chapter 3. He said, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David." That's the key to the kingdom. "What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." And that should be the prayer of our life. God, close every door that no man can open, and open every door that no man can shut. God, I need you to bring clarity of which ones are open and shut. Help me to understand. Help me to get that discerning spirit in me as I walk in my relationship with you, so that I would begin to understand the difference of what it is to actually have an open door and a closed door. God, I want that in my life. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you've been facing a lot of closed doors. That relationship didn't work out. Maybe the business idea was a total failure. Maybe the financial things you thought were going to come through didn't come through. Maybe some health things came along that just like, man, that didn't work out like I thought it was going to work out. This is kind of a shock to the system. And you're a little bit discouraged. You're a little frustrated, you're a little downcast, and you have these little closed doors. I want you to take heart this morning, because oftentimes when we face a closed door, it's not God rejecting us, it's God guiding us. And he's directing us. Sometimes we get ourselves into a problem because we punched down the closed door or we kicked down a different door God didn't want us to go, and God uses sometimes discipline to actually guide us back into the right door. Jonah in the Bible is a perfect example of this. Jonah didn't want to go through the open door God called him to go to the people of Nineveh, so he kicked down his own door and he decided to go a different way, and that became a big fishy problem. And he got swallowed up in 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, and the fish spit him up, and then he said, okay, God, I'm going to go through the open door you gave me, and as a result, revival in the whole city. So we say, God, help me. I only want to go through the doors you open. And give me wisdom enough to know not to force open the doors that you've closed, because I want to do that according to your will. And as I do that in my life, you need to align your life with God's word. You need to align your life with God's word. Who here has ever driven a car that's been out of alignment? It's kind of a pain. Because you got to hold the steering wheel, right? You can't let the steering wheel go, otherwise the car goes, right? You got to hold it, right? And the tires are off, so it wears the tire wrong. And if you get into the freeway or whatever, you go a little fast, and all of a sudden this car starts shaking, right? And you're like, oh, this is great. We're having a good time, right? And everything's whack when it's out of alignment. And the truth is, nothing works properly when you're out of alignment. And so we need to align our life with God's word. And the truth is, as we're seeking the will of God always lines up with the word of God. Let me say that again. The will of God always lines up with the word of God. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, if we really want to know the will of God, why am I not in the word of God? I need it to instruct me and to teach me. Now, everyone just heard that phone ding, which is great because it leads into my next story, which was in first service. How many here have ever received a text message? Raise your hand and hold it up. Hold it up. Raise it up. Hold it up. That's all of us, okay? All of us have received a text message, and if you have received a text message, it means that you have sent a text message, okay? And so that means that when you sent a text message and somebody didn't respond to you within the first 60 seconds, you're mad. Why are they ignoring me? I know they have their phone with them all the time. I know they've seen it. Statistically, it says that a person who receives a text message reads it within the first 30 seconds. I know they've read it already. And some of you are so sneaky, you put the read or delivered thing off. You have that blocked on your phone. Uh-huh. And then there's some of you, none of you, of course, who have received a text message and ignored it. And then you say, oh, I didn't get it. Bunch of liars. Think about it this way. When we ignore God's word and we deliberately choose to not read God's word and align our life with God's word, you are ignoring God's direct text message to you. God has DM'd you in his word. This is a direct message to you. And you can't figure out what God's will is, but you continue to ignore his word. God's word always aligns with his will. And if you want to know the will of God, you need to get into his word. And you need to read his word. And you need to understand it. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It helps us understand I'm not walking in the will of God. It helps us understand I'm walking in the will of God. You know, so understand, I'm fulfilling out the plan of God. And so I read that in the word of God. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work, to live out the will of God in your life. Man, we need God's word. So if you are not regularly in God's word, that's going to make it difficult for you. Because the truth is, if you're not in the word of God, you will never truly live in the will of God. Some of you should write that down and put it on your refrigerator. On the ice cream side, because we know that's where you go most. If you're not in the word of God, you will never truly live in the will of God. Because you're not understanding what the will of God is, because you're not in his word. And so we need that in our life. And as I align myself with God's word, and it aligns me with his will, I need to start trusting that God has a better plan than you do. God has a better plan for your life than you do. You are not great at planning your life. Come on now. But God is. God's great at planning our life. God's great at giving us a plan that he wants to fulfill in our life. And maybe some of you think in your life, right, man, if I start trusting in God's will, it's going to just derail my life, and I won't be able to do the things I want. I won't be able to have the plans that I want and the happiness that I want and achieve the things that I want. And God says, man, none of that stuff's going to bring you satisfaction and happiness and hope and fulfillment, because it's outside of my will. It's outside of my will. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, it says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. How much has he done for you? Everything. He created you. He loved you. He sent Jesus to die for you. He wants you to know him. He wants you for eternity. I think he's pretty much done everything for us. Because all that he's done for you, let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. He says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think about the plan and the will of God, the plans for your life. Say, I don't want my plans, God, I want your plans. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. God's what? Will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. It's good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, sometimes in life, we go through things and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is devastating. Why am I going through this right now? Why is this situation happening? Maybe a death of a loved one, or a health crisis, or a financial issue, or a family issues, or whatever it is. And you're like, why am I going through this? This is so hard and so difficult. And we have to go through those things sometimes. It's like the time when my mom died. She died at the age of 55 from a brain aneurysm. And it was devastating for the whole family. And even as catastrophic as that was for the whole family, for my dad and all my siblings and all the grandkids, it was probably the single greatest thing that could have ever happened to my sister. Because my sister was dying of anorexia. And that moment where my mom died became a shock moment for her that forced her to have to make decisions for her life she would have never made otherwise. And it caused her to actually leave where she was, and she ended up coming to live with us, and God got a hold of her life, and now she's married and has great kids and a great family, and God's working in her life. At the moment, we couldn't see in the crisis what God was doing with his good, pleasing, and perfect will. But later on, now we can see, man, God, you're good, even through the devastation. Even through that trial, even for that hardship, because God works all things for the good for those who love him and his will. Those who love him and are called according to his good purpose. That's his will. And so I say, okay, God, I recognize that you have a better plan for my life than I do, and I want to live in that will. And as I'm doing that, you need to surround yourself with people who want God's will to? Paul wasn't doing this alone. He said, our group, we tried to go to Asia and we tried to go over here, but we recognized that the Spirit was telling us no. He wasn't just a solo guy on his own mission. He was surrounded by people. He had companions with him that all wanted God's will too. Are the people who are speaking into your life, are they ones who only care about their own agenda, or are they ones that care about God's will too? This is why things like Rooted are so important. Like our small groups are so important, because I'm surrounding myself with people who also want God's will, who also want God's plan, who say, God, I want your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. I want to make it a way of life for me. And so we surround ourselves with those people that give godly counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, it says, listen to advice and accept discipline. Now, I should just clarify this, because you would think it would just be common knowledge that when you read the Bible and it says listen to advice, you should automatically recognize that God is talking about you should listen to godly advice. Okay? You should listen to everything ChatGPT tells you, or everything you find on social media, or all that stuff you learn doom scrolling on Instagram. Listen to godly advice and accept discipline, accept correction. Hey, you're not going the right way. This is the way you should go. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose, it's the Lord's will that prevails. And I want to surround myself with people who have that desire too, that make the will of God a way of life for them. I'm living according to the will of God. I want to strive in every aspect, in my business, in my relationships, in my career, in my private life, with my friends, with my financial life. I want to say, okay, God, I want to live according to your will. This is food for us as Christians. In fact, Jesus said just that. He said in John chapter 4, he said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me. The will of who? Him who sent me, and to finish his work. That's what we want in our life. We want the will of God. And so I say, okay, God, I want to ask you, Lord, to give me your will in my entire life. I want you to close every door that you want closed and open every door you want open. I'm going to recognize, God, that I'm going to align according to your word, because in there I'm going to learn your will, and I'm going to recognize that it's a better plan that I have. And I'm going to start surrounding myself with people who want your will too, because I need that influence, because sometimes I'm prone to go my own way. And I want that, because I want the whole desire, the food of my life, to be to do your will. This is what Paul and his companions were doing. This is what we learn from Acts chapter 16, and that's just a few verses of it. Oh, how much God wants to teach us. God has a plan for your life, and it is good, and it is pleasing, and it is perfect. Start walking and living in that will.